Here at Encounter, we press Jesus deep in the heart of students so that the gospel will take root in every corner of the world. And the part that you didn't get to hear, you get to go on our website and listen to it if you want to. At the end, she says there are a number of kids that don't understand who Jesus' character is. They can't comprehend that. So she says, so it's my job to go into my classroom every day and to be Jesus for them, to show them what Jesus looks like. That is pure love. That is sincere love. And that really is what we're about. I'm just going to tell you right now, I love this community. I'm in love with where you go next. I'm in it. I'm going to say it right out of the gate, and I can speak on behalf of the rest of the staff. I am in this job because I want to change the world for Jesus. You are the best option I've got for that. And there is incredible stories like Megan's that we are trying to capture to try to inspire you and to inform others that this gospel thing is real. The gospel is this. The gospel is something from Jesus that we didn't deserve, that he brings to us in the form of salvation, in the form of grace, in the form of things that we just didn't expect. He cuts us a sweet deal. That's what Jesus does. And Jesus said right from the beginning in Acts 1:7, he turned to his disciples before this whole thing turned into this, before Christianity let loose. And he said, this is what's going to happen. He says, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, that was home, and in Judea, that was kind of the outskirts, and in Samaria, and then the outer parts of the earth. But you're going to start right here. And tonight, we have, we're going to talk a lot about what does that sincere love look like for you. And when the church first started, it was pure. And I'm going to tell you, when the church first started for you, it was pure. Jesus said it right out of the gate. He said, hey guys, this thing's going to go crazy, and it's going to go viral, and it's going to viral. He said it's going to happen in a way that everyone's going to feel it. And when they do, they're not going to be able to contain themselves. Because when you know that I've come out of my way to invest in your life, to be a gift to you, to jump into your story, when you feel the truth of that, when Jesus comes into your life, you are compelled and you feel the need. It's not a need, it's a want to share it and to be something to someone else around you. That's just what happens. That's the purest form of knowing Jesus. That's what happens to us. And so what I've noticed, and this is something that that we don't always talk about, but in the early church, in the earliest church, it's crazy how everybody, there's two things about the church that I noticed that happened when the church first started. The first is, it was for everybody. Everybody was involved. It wasn't just a few people. It was everyone was like on equal playing ground, and everyone that received this gift wanted to share it. There really wasn't a lot of hierarchy. There wasn't a lot of rules as far as church order. It was, I received Jesus, I want to bless the next person. And that led to the second thing. Not only was everyone empowered, but the second thing is that everyone is about everyone else. And it wasn't about helping people in the church as much as it was about helping people out of the church. The church is the only organization in the world that exists for its non-members. That's what the church is. It's here for other people. And as soon as we start to play games and think it's about us, that's when the church gets ugly. That's when the church starts to turn on itself. That's when the church starts to become everything that we don't like about the church. But if we have eyes to be outward and everyone is empowered to do it, unbelievable things will happen. That is exactly what happened in the early church. We have started a series, we're in the middle one right now, that I am stoked about. And we're talking about the five key things that alums in the past have told me are just musts. Things that revolutionize the way they think, the way they are, who they are, and who they've become. The first was finding true friends to keep you true. Investing in people, making it a commitment to be at a small group. The second thing that we talked about was how important this meeting is, to be rallying around Jesus and the Word, and that the light would be the light, and we would be able to use that light and fill ourselves up like a recharging station. This is an important meeting. The third was that we really want to be honest, find spaces where we're able to be honest, like a retreat. It doesn't have to be a retreat. If you're gone and if you feel like we're hounding you on that, hey, it's all right. There's other retreats, okay? But this weekend is going to be one of those chances for you. But I'll tell you, if all we talk about are those three things, and oftentimes that's what the church talks about, small group, large group, and get on a retreat, this is what will happen. You will become inward. It will become about you. You will begin to criticize the way things are done within that. If that's all it's about, you will become a consumer, and you will become a part of the problem, and the church will just kind of fold on itself. Tonight is a window of opportunity that we're going to talk about in service. This is what's going to change the world. The reality is that the world did not change because there was a stellar small group program that Jesus started. It wasn't it. There wasn't some really awesome curriculum that he passed out that people were like, this is really good, you got to get into this one. It wasn't some worship experience. There was no amplification during the day. The church spread, and it spread fast, and it spread true, and it spread in a real kind of way to many different countries very quickly and in a very real way, because people automatically knew, hey, I have received grace. I have received the gospel. I want to share that with other people. Tonight, I want you to tune in because we have a chance to do that. Look at this room. Look at all of us in this room. The potential we have to really infect and infuse this campus and this community and this world is huge. Tonight, we're going to focus on those first two. So in order to get your brain working and to be thinking and to be focused a little bit more about what it might mean to be, when Jesus said, first start in your Jerusalem, let's talk about what it might look like to be here in your, how do you serve in your campus?
Hi, my name's Jenny. I'm from the outreach team, and our mission statement is empowering people to bring grace and truth into day-to-day life through genuine friendships.
Hi, I'm Gabby with the prayer team, and our mission is to equip people to share the gospel and seek the Lord through prayer.
Hi, my name is Angelica, and I'm a part of Greet Squad, and our mission is to create a Christ-centered community where ISU students are welcome and accepted.
Hey, I'm Ryan Smith, and I'm a part of the lineup, and our mission statement is using sports as an avenue to draw people to a community that will bring them closer to God.
Hi, I'm Jackie, and I'm a part of the creative media team, and we are a group of media storytellers that glorify God by displaying the stories He's writing.
Hi, my name is Emily, and I'm a part of the service worship team, and something that we want to do is give students the opportunity to use their desire to worship by creating a comfortable environment that glorifies God.
Hi, my name is Jessie, I'm part of the hospitality team, and our vision is to make the campus house a welcoming place to call home by bringing people together to share God's love.
So those of you guys who know Grace knows that she's awesome and cool and funny and kind and all that good stuff. And Grace and I go way back to her freshman year. We got to hang out at Freshman Getaway, and she then got to co-coach with my wife of our varsity cheer team. And so Grace and I have had the opportunity to hang out a decent amount, going Cambodia trip and a lot of good stuff. And we were talking a few days ago, and I felt like this was our little chat in the campus house, pretty intimate, me, her, and Caitlin. It was a good opportunity for her to bring her up and share a little bit about what her heart is and how she was impacted by people just being a little bit faithful. So Grace, when you first came to campus, what was it like checking out different campus ministries, and what was that experience like, and what obstacles did you face when you were doing that search?
At first, it was pretty overwhelming because I really didn't know where to look and what campus ministries were there, and I didn't have a lot of people that I knew here. I knew a couple people from high school, but that was it. And it was, yeah, so.
And because you're new to campus, because you don't know many people, but you know what you want, right? So you wanted a community.
I wanted a community where I could have friends that were going to push me to grow in my faith and become a better person as a Christian.
Yeah, and so that's a big deal. That isn't just like a, oh, let me do a Google search real quick and hope that something pops up, right? Like, that takes some commitment. That takes an extra step. So when we were talking a few days ago about your first experience at Encounter, I want you to share just what stood out to you and why did you end up coming back?
I actually came here with someone from high school. She had come the week before, and she said, it's pretty cool. You should come check it out. So we sat over there in Capen, and Michelle Walker and one other person came up and talked to me, and they asked the simple questions like, what's your major? What do you want to do with your life? But even though those are like awkward questions and not really fun to talk about, it was just nice that someone came up and talked to me and recognized that I was new. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's easy in a big crowd to maybe feel like you are insignificant or like that you don't matter much, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think you would have come back, or like, do you think it would have been harder to come back if that didn't happen that first time?
Oh yeah, like I went to other campus ministries too, and like, I didn't feel as welcome, and so I think it would have been the process of finding campus ministry would have just been that much harder. It kind of, after I came to Encounter, I felt welcome. It was like, okay, found one. I'm going to stick to it. So.
Yeah, and so it's crazy because that was 3 years ago, right? And a lot has happened in 3 years. So if you didn't come back, what would you have missed out on?
I definitely wouldn't be where I'm at in my faith right now. There's definitely a lot of people who poured into me through discipleship, through just plain friendships, through talking. And I wouldn't have been able to go to Cambodia twice and learned about sex trafficking and been able to come back and be a voice for those girls and have that passion for that.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. And, you know, you might have learned those lessons, you know, in other places in different ways, but it's hard. It's easy to look back now and be grateful for what happened, for something as simple as someone saying hello and acknowledging you for just who you are, right? So all that being said, why do you think it's important for us to serve where we're placed, like right here on campus, right here in the community, and how have you been impacted by being a recipient of that service?
I think it's definitely important to kind of find a spot where you can put your all in. It's good to be spread out so you can spread what you're getting here to other places, but it's really good to be intentional in one spot. That way you can build those relationships and learn more through all of that, those experiences and stuff. And what was the other question?
Yeah, so how were you affected by being personally served by somebody?
I mean, I came back, and it changed my life, and I probably wouldn't be where I'm at today without it, so.
Yeah. One act of faithfulness, right? Change it. And that is the reason why Greet Squad became a thing, right? That's something as simple as holding open doors, saying hello in a genuine manner, like really, really genuinely being interested in who walks through those doors because they're worth being loved, worth being cared for. That matters. And that's the purpose of that team. So thanks, Grace.
One thing. Yeah, go ahead. Thank these guys for being up here. One thing that we need to know is that people like Grace that had their lives changed because of something random that happened back there is what has spurred her on to want to do Greet Squad, and it's what spurred on for more opportunities right here on the campus thing. I don't want you to think that most of these things that we have of these people that are up here on the screen that are saying that they're leading these areas, I don't want you to think those are things we dreamt up. These are things where God's moved already and students are just stepping in and making them even better. And that's how it starts. That's how it started in the beginning with the gospel when it changed people's lives with the early church. That's how it started. And people had this pure
something about them where Jesus came into their life, changed them, and they just purely started serving. It wasn't a plan. It was just coming out of their heart, out of their soul, into other people. And it just became who they were, and it's just what they did. And somewhere along the line, the only thing that ends up stopping that from just being great is people from within the church that maybe analyze it too much, or maybe you self-doubt it, or whatever it might be. Well, such a thing happened that actually from Jerusalem all the way to Rome, this gospel message moved. And along the way, there was incredible change that happened in the lives of these different people. And one thing that I was going to mention earlier that I think is just also incredible is you can't really mention service without giving. People just started selling lots of land and like handing it over to the disciples and just saying, hey, give it to the poor, help them out. And that really is the beginning of how many of the things in our society that we take advantage of and we take for granted have started. Do you know most hospitals around the world started because of a church-based thing? They started because somebody had their life so changed by the gospel that they said, I've got to do something for the sick. I just sat in Broman today, in OSF, actually, to go to the doctor for the third time. That's another story. But I'm sitting there, and on the wall it says, it's by grace you've been saved. Why? Because that was founded by a church. So many of the relief organizations that you see around the world, founded by churches. So many of the orphanages that you see around the world, founded by churches. The world is a different place than it used to be. And before Jesus came, there was, I guarantee you, a lot less of that. And then it just started happening where people started giving. And not just some people, all the people. Again, the two things that made the church unique in the time, all the people and always for others. And so if you were to ask Paul at the time, how many people should you have percentage-wise giving to the church? He'd just say, what do you mean? All of them. How many people should be serving the church? All of them. We should all be doing that. And because of that, this message made its way all the way to Rome. This is kind of an interesting story. So Rome starts this church, a mixture of people that were Jews and non-Jews just under Jesus. In the year 49 AD, it was a long time ago, the Jews get kicked out of Rome. So the Jews leave, and they go to all these different corresponding or neighboring countries, and they end up being a part of the church community there. And each one of them go to this unique church community, and as you get to that unique church community, things because of that culture end up popping up, and you end up, the church looks a little different based on the culture that it's in. You got the non-Jews that are staying in Jerusalem or in Rome, and they take on their own identity of their own. Does that make sense? So we got all these church-based people changed by the gospel that have now been dispersed into different cultures, and they're out, and these guys are out of town for 5 years to 54 AD. Then they all start moving back, and from 55 AD to 60 AD, there is chaos in Rome because all of these different cultures all come together and they argue. They're arguing over whether or not to be a Christian, the men should have a certain operation, circumcision. You got some, I can't think of the big word of operation sometimes. They're arguing about what people should be eating. What's your diet? Are you going to include this or you're not going to include this? People are arguing about doctrine. They're arguing about whether or not you should have things posted at the wall. And you know what? There are people coming into this community, I think about that often, that are from all different church backgrounds. And you have uniquely received the good news yourself. And my hope is that we make it pure here. That we would take as much of the complication of whatever your church background is and leave it there and bring it to a spot here that is as pure as we can make it. Now, I say as pure as we can make it because we have to organize ourselves in some way. But I guarantee if you come into this community from somewhere else, you've probably noticed it, we look different than your home church. There's a lot of things that your home church did where it's like, hey, they don't do communion every week. Hey, they don't do an offering the way we do offering. Hey, they don't have a special person singing every week or a special number. Is that what they call it? Something like that. There's different things, but different churches in different ways. And there's leadership structures. And why is this person going to be in a leadership position and this person not in a leadership position? We start asking those questions because we're outside looking in, right? So this is an important concept for us to grasp here tonight. Here's where I really want us to focus in tonight, because if we don't let ourselves do this, the negative aspects of our community of that story I just told can end up entering into this place in a way that we don't want. Does that make sense? So let me just take, I think we're good. So let's take a look at some scripture tonight, because Paul, just to give you guys an idea of what's happening, Paul says, things are getting out of control. You guys are all arguing. You guys are all from these different cultures. I need to step in here and write you guys a letter. And so this is what Paul writes in his letter. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Everybody is to be a living sacrifice. You guys know what a sacrifice is? I'm finding out, because my daughter's in the National Guard, that a living sacrifice doesn't necessarily have to have love attached to it. A lot of our servicemen, the military, is a living sacrifice based on orders. But he goes even further to talk about really what this, in chapter 12, what it's supposed to look like. And he gives a big, long list. I'm going to read some of it. It's kind of a neat little chapter. In chapter 12, I'm just going to read a little bit of what I highlighted before. He says, be devoted to one another. This is what service is about. This is our service night, right? Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keeping your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Are we naming some of the things that we do here? Share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. This is a list of some of the things that are going on here, but there's one verse, there's one phrase that he says in verse 9 that kind of kicks it all off, and it's really the core of what this whole thing is about that we're going to talk about tonight. And that's in verse 9. And he just says this, love must be sincere. Guys, listen to me. If you don't like the service teams, start one yourself. I don't care. If you want to do something on your own, go for it. We are just trying to organize things. We have seen that there are opportunities. We have seen that God's used and worked through a lot of the service teams that are here already. We want to just give you an opportunity to do more of that. I would encourage you guys to be in that small group. We talked about small groups earlier. Maybe in your small group, you guys get together and you say, what could we do? I mean, we've been changed. We have a chance to do something incredible. And it's not just campus that's important. I think it's really important that we also look also to the opportunities. In case you're wondering, your minds are starting to crank a little bit and wondering what there might be in the next phase out, the next circle out, is what would it look like for you to be invested in something we already have set up here in our community?
Hi, I'm Hannah Yerick, and I'm part of the Big Brother Big Sister service team, and our mission statement is to show love and support through the heart of Jesus to the children of the Big Brother Big Sister program.
Hi, I'm Kate. I'm a part of the GEMS team, and our vision is to be a Christ-like example for children so that they may grow up knowing the love of Christ.
Hi, my name is Katie Weber. I'm part of Home Sweet Home Ministry, and our vision is to create excitement in people's hearts to serve those that they never thought they would.
Hi, I'm Sarah, and I'm a part of Ahava, and our mission statement is earnestly loving so the whole world will know His name.
Hi, my name is Nick, and I'm part of the Juvenile Detention Center team, and our mission is to be the light to teens in our community who are in a dark place.
My life really changed in college because there was a girl that I met in a ministry that did ministry different than anyone I'd ever seen do it before. She was always serving with her small group. She was always cooking food for her roommates. She was always volunteering somewhere. She was always serving. She received a gift from Jesus, and she felt just this opportunity in her heart to pass it on. And I can't tell you how many times I was very interested in this girl. That never worked out, but I was very interested in this girl. And I would ask her out on occasion, and she would almost always have something going on. Legitimately, it wasn't me. Well, maybe it was. And she would say something about what was going on. I always put my foot in my mouth, and I'd always say, "Oh yeah, tonight you have to go to small group." And she'd always look at me really puzzled, and she'd say, "No, I don't. I get to." Other times I'd say, "Oh yeah, tonight you have to go serve at the homeless shelter." "No, I don't. I get to." I think the early church, Paul would have looked at you weird if you would have asked him, say, "Oh, tonight you have to go. What are you talking about? I get to." All the people that received Jesus in that unique time when it was just pure. "Oh, tonight you have to." "No, I don't. I get to." I want us to grasp that. It's going to change everything when you believe deep to your core. Jesus has changed you so much that you get to. We're going to spend some time filling out these cards tonight to just sign up for one. We got one for campus and one for community. They're all under your chairs, and you don't have to get them yet, but you're going to get them in a second because I got just a little bit more to share with you. But please know this. No one is making you do this tonight. And don't feel like you have to. You don't have to do a thing. You get to. You get to. And when we begin to believe that we get to, it's going to change this campus and it's going to change this community. And you think that's exciting, you wait till you come back next week because we're going to talk about our world. It's going to be awesome. But tonight, it's campus and community. And I gotta tell you this. I can't not say what I gotta say next before we get these papers filled out. You have to know the dangers of not getting to. You have to know the dangers of living in our first three windows only, where we become consumers. Because if we become consumers, first thing is, we don't give and we critique. And if you don't give and you critique, the church starts to fold on itself. And that is not what we want. That's not what any of us want. I know that. What we want is for the church to grow, to go outward, and to change this world. That's what I'm in it for. That's what the staff's in it for. That's what I know you are really in it for as well. And so, as I was thinking about all of the vast church history that we have, never once do I see a country or a government impose its will of communism or whatever it might be that's ever thwarted the church. As a matter of fact, it's made it grow. The only thing that keeps the church small is the attitude inside the church. And if we have an attitude of me or of my culture, that's what's going to change it. But if we have the attitude of what does Jesus want me to do out there, and we just free up and we're like, hey, there's no system holding me back. I get to
hang out with my roommate and we get to go across town and we get to do something for somebody and I get to do it, I'm telling you, this place is going to change. Well, my favorite part of my job is when I come to work on a Monday morning and I find out all of the things that the students dreamt up. Oh, we just thought it would be a cool idea if we threw a dance and raised some money and raised awareness and did something over here and got these people to go to that country or whatever it is. I love that stuff. And you figure out different ways that you can just get to do something. You've been wired in a unique way, and I want you to do that. I also want you to think about this because I don't know where else to fit it in a sermon the rest of the semester, but I just feel like it's so important. It's just such a part of being selfless. It really is our giving. And so for the rest of the semester, we're going to have people coming up and just talk that have done this first five concept, and they're going to be able to share that from you, what their experiences with it. I'm going to ask that this be part of that window of opportunity, and this week, ask the Lord, why wouldn't I give $5 a week? And you get to do that on your own, on the app, somewhere outside of this place. You don't have to do it now. But would you make that maybe part of your week as well? And I just think of all of us. If you're asking me, how many do I expect to do that? I expect all of us to. I expect all of us to have $5. And I expect all of us can serve. And not because we have to. Boy, don't feel like you have to do anything. You don't have to. You get to. So for the next few minutes, we're going to turn the lights up so you can see. And we're going to give you just a couple of minutes to mark which one of campus and or community would you like to do with that. So let's do that. I'm going to pray as we do that. So let's pray together. Jesus, I want to ask you to be just in this moment. And the first thing I'm asking, God, is that we each in this place would understand how much you've done for us, and because of that, we get to do something back. So it's in that attitude and in that spirit, God, that we would just pour ourselves out to you at this time and focus in on what it is that you might want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.